Let's stand together briefly and turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. By the way, it's brought to mention, and we're very, very thankful. Thank you for your sacrifice in giving to our building. This building wouldn't be anywhere near where it is without the sacrificial giving of the folks in our church. And I thank you for that. We're getting close to the end there. And a tremendous response to our Christmas gift for Jesus. Actually, this morning I was with Adrian. I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I noticed he had a Kohl's bag, which gets my attention because that's my wife's second church, Pacific Baptist Church of Kohl's. They're like together. The only difference is our church doesn't charge interest. But I said, what's in the bag? You go to Kohl's? He's like, no, he had a John Wooden personally autographed basketball. And he said, I'm giving it and going to have them sell it so that money can go for Christmas gift for Jesus. So, and I know we can give many, many stories, but thank you for his sacrifice. Thank you for your sacrifice. And we've come a long way. And hang in there. We don't have a long, long way left, but we want to just kind of button down and get there together. Let's get this thing done. We are so close. We can feel it. I do encourage you to pray for the building. I mean, do earnestly pray about it. And then please just continue to be faithful in the commitments that we made, and we're going to get there really soon. It's going to be a blessing to be in that building. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We're going to talk this morning for a few minutes about what to do when what you're doing isn't working. Okay? Things that come in our life sometimes, and we try to deal with the situations, we try to deal with what's going on, and what we're doing just doesn't work. We're going to see a story here where that was kind of the situation. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, that's Jesus, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, have you ever been fishing for a while and you don't catch anything? Frustrating. And I suggest don't ever go fishing with Lloyd if you don't want that to happen. Okay. We were up at, the Men of Boys Camp? And Brother Ross is like the fisherman. I'm like, okay, I want to go. I want to catch something. And I know you heard these stories before, but I don't fish a lot. But I know the fish I had on my reel was the heaviest one I ever landed. And I mean, my arm worked trying to bring that thing in. We fought for minutes, and sure enough, as soon as we got to the shore, snap. And so I was there fishing all day, and I texted a picture to my family. I said, here is all the fish we caught today. It was a picture of the deck with nothing on it. Because okay, that's what we caught, nothing. I know the feeling. Now, Vinny found out how to catch fish later on. They had some buoys. You were not supposed to fish inside of the buoys. And so Vinny came back and said, I caught seven. Where did he go? He went inside the buoys where he wasn't supposed to go. And I was mad that he didn't invite me. Well, you know the feeling, okay? So these guys are fishermen by trade. They didn't catch anything. And when they had this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, their net breaks. So he listens. They go out. Now they're catching fish. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. I've never experienced that kind of fishing trip, but I would love to. Okay. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray this morning. Father, I pray that you just bless these few minutes we look at your word. Your word is very relevant to our life, Lord. It shows us things that we can do to be what you want us to be, to work through the situations, the chaos of life sometimes. And I pray, Lord, as we look at this story, we would gather some principles that would help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the time of this story is very early in Jesus' ministry. Jesus had come over. There was a crowd of people that were following him. And Jesus wants to preach to the crowd, but they were kind of closed in, and he really didn't have a good platform on which to speak to them. So he sees these two ships, they're empty. And so he gets Simon Peter, who's there. He gets into one of the ships. He goes, can you take the ship a little bit off the shore so that I'm back away and I can kind of speak to the whole crowd? And so Peter does that. Now, by the way, as Jesus was speaking to the crowd, he was still concerned with individuals. Realize that Jesus preached to crowds, but his message was always personal. He wanted it to be for the individual. And so while he's here preaching to the crowd and using Peter's boat, I don't know how much the crowd listened. I'm sure some of them did. But there was one man that was there that he was really going to focus in on, and he was really going to get his attention. And that was Simon Peter. Yeah. Peter being in the boat with him was a captive audience. By the way, Jesus' purpose is to transform an individual's life so he can send them out to share his transforming message. And that's what's going to happen here. But after speaking to the crowd, he now turns and he's going to focus into Simon Peter. And so he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, I told you to launch a little from the shore. Now I want you to launch out into the deep, because if you do, you're going to get a great harvest of fishes. That's what he told Peter. And then Peter talks to him and says, now wait a minute. We just spent all night fishing. We didn't catch anything. By the way, you imagine how Peter must have felt at this time. He must have been tired. Okay? They were washing their nets. They were going home. But he tells Jesus, we fished all night. We got zero results. By the way, he was a seasoned fisherman. That was his trade. That was their business. This isn't, if I go fishing, I'm not seasoned. I'm a novice at best, okay? I have to go with someone that knows what they're doing, what kind of bait, you know, what time. Just help me get the thing set up and then push me in the right direction and let me go, all right? Not seasoned. They were seasoned. They knew what they were doing, and yet they caught nothing. They had a plan that they followed. It was probably a good plan. They did what they felt would work best. They were prepared, and they went at it, and they got zero results. Zero results. Sometimes, I know all of us in our life will have situations or phases or times in our life where we feel like that. We feel like we're doing everything we can, we're trying to do this, we got all this going on, and there's situations, relations, there's things in our life, and it feels like nothing is happening. Could be in relationships. Might have some relationships, and maybe there's something there, it's strange, some things have happened, you want to tie those relationships together. Nothing you're doing is helping. Maybe it's in your career, your work, and you feel frustrated. You know, you're just not the important. You say, man, I wish I was better at this. And I'm trying, and I'm doing these things, but it's not working. Maybe it's in your family. You know, you try to be the best husband you can be. You try to be the best father. You try to be the best mother, the best wife. You try to raise the children right. And you do all these things, and it's like, but you just feel like maybe something isn't working. Maybe you have some problem in your life, and it's like, you know, I'm trying to work through these things, but it's not working. God may have allowed a trial in your life. You're trying to make it. You're trying to do the best you can, but you just feel that what you're doing isn't working. Could be maybe there's a weakness in your life, something you'd like to shore up, something in your life, as we talked about last Sunday morning, that you would like to change, and yet you feel like everything you try, everything you do, it's just, I'm not getting the results I would like to have. You feel like nothing's there. We feel like Peter does sometimes. Well, good thing happens. Jesus comes and gets involved in the story. So they go out, And they drop a net. They fished all night. Nothing good's happened. So they finally go out. Peter says, I'll do it because you said to do it. And he drops a net. And the net's breaking. And so he finally gets his buddies out there in the boats. And they catch all of these fish. Things have obviously changed. Same activity, same situation, different results. So what do we do? Well, I want to point out two things to you and a couple thoughts underneath each thing. As we look at the story, first of all, I want you to notice what didn't work. What didn't work? By the way, if you're doing something that's not working, why would we keep doing it? Okay. Einstein, that wonderful Christian, said, insanity is doing the same thing, the same way, expecting different results. So sometimes we need to look at what's going on and like, things need to change. Well, what didn't work? What didn't work are some things that seem like it would work. First of all, we see that they had a group effort. He said, Master, we have toil. In other words, Peter wasn't just out there on his own. Peter had some others that were out there fishing with him. By the way, that's a good idea, to have people helping you. It is good sometimes in our life, we think sometimes that we have the answers to all of the questions. But in reality, I believe that we don't even know the questions.
Yeah.
And when we think we know all the answers, we're getting ourselves in trouble here. Sometimes we do need outside help. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, counsel. Most counsel, you know, we get is if you're not going to listen, it's not going to help anybody. But really, all counsel is trying to find out through somebody else helping you, what does God say about your situation, and how can I get help in these situations? But why weren't they getting help? Well, maybe they had the wrong group. See, it doesn't matter if we get help if we're getting help from the wrong place. Okay? We're not going to get help from those who do not have a biblical mindset. Your buddy at work that doesn't know anything about God isn't going to help you. Now, if he's trying to help you figure out how to fix your car, okay, he can help you. But I'm talking about the things of life. We go to people sometimes and we get help from wrong people. Okay? I'm not much into psychology, to be real honest with you. Okay, most of the time it's nothing more than doctor-sanctioned selfishness. Now I'm saying we need help, I understand that, but we go to people that are just going to stroke our ego. You know, sometimes you need someone to tell you what the truth is.
Yeah.
Okay, and so if we're not willing to do that, we get in trouble. But we have a group, and that was a good thing, but they weren't getting it done. Make sure we're going to the right people. Don't get advice from the wrong people. We also see here what else didn't work was great effort. He said, Master, we have toiled. They worked. They put the They put the effort in. They weren't lazy. And by the way, that's a good thing. But it wasn't working. If you're going to get through something sometimes, you've got to be willing to work at it. But just working at it is not the answer. If you're going to work, you know, what do they say in the business world? Don't work harder, work what?
Smarter.
Okay? It's not just hard work, it's the right kind of hard work.
Yeah.
And we do this hard work, but we're not doing it right, and we get discouraged. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes, it's verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10 says, if the iron be blunt, and he not wet the edge, then must he put to more strength. In other words, if you got like an iron, a sharp iron axe, and you're trying to chop something, but yet it's dull, you're putting all the effort in and you're not going very far. You might want to sharpen that thing up. He says, but wisdom is profitable to direct. But when you get the proper wisdom, you're sharpening that and it's going to be profitable.
Amen.
So it's a good thing to work hard, but let's make sure we're working hard at the right things.
Amen.
And then we see that it was an ongoing effort. He said, Master, we've toiled all night. I mean, they had the duration. They put in the time. It wasn't just something, you know, sometimes people come and they have a little problem and it's like, you've hardly worked at it. Okay? We got to be willing to go through the process to get things back on track. And sometimes it takes time. We get impatient. We have some problem or situation in our life that took years to develop and we want it done and fixed overnight. Now, I feel sometimes people come in for counsel. I've had couples come in. It's like what they want is they want me to open my office desk and pull out some spoofle dust and like wham, and everybody loves each other and everything's happily ever after. Doesn't work that way. Okay? You have to work through the problems. It takes some time. Now, don't get discouraged. You're going in the right direction. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Cut a little bit of slack there. But they were diligent about it. They were, you know, nighttime. Everybody else is sleeping. You ever work third shift? I worked third shift for years at Bible college. I worked that in third shift in the early days of the church. It always seems like when you're working at night, there's this little like constant humming in your ear. How do you know what I'm talking about? And it's like, and then you come home and you can't sleep because it's day. Kids are in and out of the room. Wife's in and out of the room. It's like, but they were diligent. They worked there. Now these are all good things, but the way they were doing them, for some reason, they didn't work. So what did work? Let me give you some things. First of all, what did work? The entrance of Christ.
Amen.
Now that he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Now they had Jesus in there, and now he's given them the commands.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know what's going on in your life, but I know this. The closer you get to Christ, the better off it's going to be.
Amen.
So often what we do is we start having problems and we back away from Jesus. And let me just tell you something. That makes things worse.
Yeah.
The things that come in our life, the problems we have, it ought to drive us to be closer to him. It shouldn't drive us to be farther from him, because that is not the answer.
Amen.
So Jesus now is getting involved in Peter's business. Do you realize that when you got saved, you now have Christ and his availability to help you in the situations in your life?
Amen.
You know, we think sometimes about Jesus, he's only for church. Jesus, God, the Bible, that's all this church stuff. Don't put him in a box.
Amen.
It's not church stuff. You know what it is? It's life.
Amen.
He's there for the duration. Amen. He's there 24/7. He didn't just come in and say, all right, I'll see you next Sunday. He's not what he's all about.
Amen.
He wants to have that relationship with you.
Yes, sir.
He wants to grow in that relationship. Amen. He's all those things we talk, he's concerned about the relationships in your life. He's concerned about the career. He's concerned about your family. He's concerned about your problems. He's concerned about everything that's going on in your life. Don't just put him off to the side. And now that he's there, these problems maybe you're trying to work through, or the way you're living your life is like, man, this just isn't working out the way I want it. Hey, Jesus can change all of that.
Amen.
But he's a gentleman. We must let him. So what works when Jesus is in your life? So we see that what works, the entrance of Christ. We also see what works is we have to exit from the shore. The ship's on the shore. He goes, you need to push out a little bit. He says two things. He goes, first of all, he told him, thrust out a little from the land. That was a starting point. He said, just move it out a little bit. I need to use it. And then he said, next, he goes, now let's go to the deep. See, too many of us in our lives were anchored to the shore. We're not willing to leave where we are to get to where God wants us to be. You do realize if things are going to change in your life, you are going to have to change. You can't stay where you're at. You're going to have to be willing to let Jesus transform you and make you into a new person. You're going to have to be willing to do some things that you're not doing now, but in order to do that, you have to move away from the shore.
Amen.
We're so nailed down to where we're at. We come and it's like, I'm here and I'll take Jesus as long as he's here, but I'm not going out any farther. And that won't work. We have to get away from the shore. I noticed that Jesus was very patient, though. The growth came in steps. He didn't tell him when he went to Peter. He didn't get in the ship and say, hey, head out to the shore. Head out to the deep. He said, thrust out a little bit from the shore. And then once that was done, and he was done, God just, now let's go a little deeper. Okay? Your problem, you leave the shore, you'll get farther away from the shore. Don't look to where you have to be. Look to where you're at and to where you're going. Well, we get so concerned. But we have to leave from the shore. We get so concerned about where we need to be, we don't see the progress that we've made.
Amen.
That's always a problem. As I mentioned before, here's a couple that comes in, they have major conflict, they have major trouble in their life. The hardest thing to get them through is the fact that it ain't going to change overnight. Part of those irritations are still going to be there. And it's so hard for us to cut somebody else some slack. To say, we're heading the right direction. Why don't we just be happy with that? We're still going to look at the irritations, but quit looking at the irritations and look to where we you started to go. Direction. Direction is very, very important. It's like a baby. You have a newborn baby. They don't just one day hop up out of the crib and start running. What do they do? You lay them down, and then they're on their backs all the time, and then they learn how to flip over. You usually find that out when you lay them on a bed, they fall off the edge. So the kid learned how to roll. Okay? God, by the way, angels are with babies all the time. They have to be. Those kids do so many crazy things, and it's like, if I did that now, I'd be in traction for a month. Okay, the baby can fall off my bed and be fine. If I fall off the same distance, I'll be in the hospital, right? But they start to roll, and then what happens? Then they get up that little knee mode, where it's almost like the motor's running, they just can't get scooting, you know what I'm saying? Kind of like, you know, all right, just move the knee, let's get going. And then they get that first little movement. Now they're crawling. And then they get into everything. And then they get to the thing where they hold themselves up, and now they can kind of, now they'll fall down a couple times on that too, right? But they're holding themselves up, and they're kind of wiggling there. And then they let go of it, and it's like, I'm standing! And then they take that first step, and then they really get into stuff. And then they learn how to walk. And then they learn how to run. And then they cost you money the rest of your life. What is that? That's progress. Why can't we see that in our life? We got to get off the shore. We got to start making progress in our life. Be willing to move away from the shore. Don't stay where you're at. By the way, some people, you get a fatalistic view. Well, you know, that's just how things are always going to be. Doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
If things stay the way they always have been, that is partially on you. Because you're not willing to try to go out and get something better.
Come on, amen.
Don't settle for what you have.
Amen.
Jesus is in the boat. There's a lot better there. Yeah. Peter and them could have said, you know what? Enough of this stuff. We've been fishing all night. I'm tired. I don't want to go out into the deep. But he would have never caught the fish.
Yeah.
So exit the shore. Next, we see that we have that. We have to have the execution of the plan. We don't get up and just start running. He has a plan for us. He told him, he said, now I want you to let down your nets for a draw. And Peter said, we've toiled all night, we didn't do anything, but nevertheless at your word. What he was saying is, what we did before didn't work. I just want to let you know. We haven't been just hanging out here. It just wasn't working. But you told us to go, so because you said it, I'll do it.
Amen.
How do you change things in your life? Obedience to God.
Amen.
That's it right there.
Amen.
It's not just solving your problem. It's becoming obedient to Christ. Because in becoming obedient to Christ, the problems of your life will start to be solved. We don't want that. See, what we want is, we just want, and by the way, if you don't learn obedience, if you have a problem, the problem gets solved, and you're doing the same thing you've been doing, it's just going to be a different problem.
Yeah.
Because you haven't got to the root. The root is, we're not following the plan. And the plan is in the book.
Amen.
Execution of the plan. It takes effort. James chapter 1, 5, talking about obeying the Bible, says, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, here's the word, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It comes down to doing.
Amen.
You know, you can have the best plan in the world, but if you don't do what it says, it ain't working.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to do, you know, we talked about it last week. I want to do all these things in my life this year. I want to have a great 2014. I wrote down everything I want to accomplish. Are you doing it? But it's on paper. It looks good. I remember years ago, I went to Bible college. I went into the dorm next to me, and I was talking to a buddy of mine there. And his friend, we all had our little closet deals, and he had this guy had his daily schedule there. And I'm talking about every 5 minutes schedule. He had it there like 7:45, go potty. I'm like, okay, I don't know how that works. You know, unless he just got there and said, I'm going to go whether I have to go or not. You know. And he had, it was detailed. And I'm looking at that thing, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Every little detail. Changed my underwear. I don't know, he had everything. And I asked him, I said, that's crazy. He said, I got to follow it. That was a good plan, though. I said, man, I want to get my finances done. And so I got a budget. And I typed it out, and it looks good, and I put it in the drawer, you never look at it again.
Amen.
See, we're individuals where as long as we have a plan, we feel better about ourselves. I'm in debt. I got a plan to get out of debt. Are you going to follow it? No. But I feel better because I have a plan. Okay. It all boils down to, are you going to do what the plan says? Well, I feel so much better because I'm coming to church now and I'm reading my Bible a little bit. But are you striving to learn what it says so you can do what it says?
There you go.
That's where it comes from.
Good.
We have to have the execution of the plan. Jesus told him, he goes, look, Peter, you need to try this again. By the way, we read these Bible stories sometimes and we don't really catch it. That wasn't a small thing. These guys had these big, heavy, thick nets. They fished all night. Now, when they came back, what they would have to do is they had to wash the nets. If they did not thoroughly wash the nets and dry them properly, the rope would start getting brittle and the nets would become worthless. And so that was a pretty big task. So you realize these guys worked all night. They spent all that time cleaning the net. Now they have to go back out, throw the nets in the water again and fish, and hope that they get fish. And then when they're done, they got to go back and clean the nets up again. Okay, that's like doing double duty. Are you with me? And they were tired. Sometimes we get like that. We get so frustrated with what's going on, we just don't even want to try anymore.
Yeah.
I've had enough. I'm giving up. I'm not going to try. Well, this time, why don't you try it the right way? By the way, I'm telling you, as soon as the fish got in the boat, you know, it's like energy level.
Yeah.
It's like when you fish, and you know, I don't mind not catching fish so much as not getting nibbles. You know what I'm saying? If you're fishing and it's like you're not catching anything, but man, you feel something happening, it's okay. And you could be out there for hours, and it's like, this is ridiculous, I'm going home, and all of a sudden the fish say, oh, he's going home, let's play with him. It's like, oh, I almost got one. Hold on. Five more minutes. You know, 5 more minutes and 3 more hours.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's how, so they had this drill run. Why? Because they listened. Try it again. They were willing to put the effort, even though they were really tired and wanted to give up. Don't give up.
Amen.
If we're going to execute his plan, we got to try it his way. You see, here's the thing. If you study this out, where they were fishing, the best fishing for them was at night, not quite so deep. So when Jesus was telling them to launch out, he's going, no, you're going to fish during the day, and you're going to fish in the deep. That's totally the opposite of what those fishermen knew or thought worked. But because Jesus said it, they went, and by the way, these weren't guys that just, you know, they asked the guy at the bait shop, what kind of bait should I use? These guys knew what they were doing. And yet, even though Jesus told them to do something was totally the opposite of what they thought and knew would be best, they were willing to try it his way. And so we must be willing, if we're going to get the results that God wants us to have in our life, we must be willing to do it God's way. Jesus, by the way, much of what God asks us to do is the opposite of what our nature would tell us to do.
Yes, right.
We had a lady years ago, we used to have all these troubled teens in our church, and we had one of her, I think it was a daughter, just had a lot of issues, a lot of troubles in her life, and the girl came, and just God changed her, and she was doing so much better. And we're talking to the parents, and said, man, you got to praise her for that she's doing better. And the mom said, oh, no. If I praise her, she'll start doing bad again. I'm not going to say anything. I'm like, really? That's what the Bible says. Bible Proverbs tells us, the more you praise them, the more they'll be what God wants them to be. It'll refine them. We get all these off-the-wall philosophies. And it's like, when Jesus comes, what he's going to tell us to do is the opposite, usually, of what conventional wisdom will tell us to do.
Yeah.
But that's okay. What you need to decide is, what kind of results do you want in your life? Do you want what everybody else has? Oh, if I just had all the money in the world, and I was rich, and I had everything I wanted, I would be happy. Check the happiness factor of those who have everything they want.
Yeah, come on.
It's usually not very good. Their families are usually not very good. Why? Because they bought the lie. Joy comes from Jesus Christ, not from possessions. But I'm just saying, when Jesus comes in and says, here's what you're supposed to do in your life, don't be alarmed. It's going to be the opposite of what you've been told. It's going going to be the opposite of what you feel like doing. But listen to what he says, because the results will be much better. And then the next thing is this. Expect great results. Expect great results. Jesus told them, if you go out, you'll get a great drop. You're going to get a lot of fish. But there was a problem in the story. I don't know if you catch it. Jesus told Peter, I want you to go out, launch the deep, and I want you to let down your nets. Plural. Jesus said, toil all night, we didn't catch anything, but nevertheless, at your word, I'll drop the net. Singular. He trusted them enough to go, but he didn't trust them enough to say, man, I don't want to have to clean all those nets again. Just in case this doesn't work, we'll only have to clean one net. By the way, that's why the net broke. It was there to be fish. Hey, when Jesus tells us to do something, let's expect that he'll do what he says he does.
Yeah.
Let's not anchor ourselves into partial obedience. Let's anchor ourselves and say, I'm going to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, people come before, they'll come to church only because they have a problem. And by the way, it's good to come to church because we have a problem.
Yeah.
But realize this, your problem's not going to be solved if you're only going to partially go for it. I'm just coming for you to help solve my problem. I don't want anything else. We had a guy that would come years ago. We started a couples class at the other church. And this couple started coming. The wife was a Christian, and the husband came with her. And I mean, there were three or four of us that witnessed to this guy. He would not get saved. I was like, no. He said, I'm only here for one reason, because I think the teaching helps my family. We tried to explain to him, if you don't become a Christian, it isn't going to work. Sure enough, he wouldn't become a Christian, and it didn't work. You got to follow through all the way.
Yeah.
If you really want God to do something mighty in your life, you know, we call it a reckless abandon. You know, I don't like players that are like tentative. You know, they're going to play, but I don't want to get hurt. And it's like, just go for it. I mean, what's the worst? You get hurt, I'll just replace you with somebody else. But just go for it. What's the use of being out there and not going for it? What's the use of saying, I love God, I'm going to serve him if I'm not going to just do what he says and just go for it?
Amen.
Expect great results.
Amen.
If you are a Sunday-only Christian, you're going to get Sunday-only results. If we're a read-the-Bible-occasionally type person, we're only going to get read-the-Bible-occasionally type results. If in giving we just want to be a tipper to God, you're going to get tip God results.
Amen.
What you get out of it is going to be determined by what you put into it.
Amen.
And you're not going to get everything God wants if you're not willing to give all the effort that God gives you to want. We got to be willing just to go for it. I heard a story. There was a man, he used to sell, I believe it was shake. He used to sell these machines where they would make shakes. He would sell it to, these food places. And he noticed a place where he would sell in San Bernardino. They kept buying a lot of them. And so his business sent him out there to check that out. And he was amazed at this little hamburger shop. These people were lined up down the block. And this man got fascinated. And it was a couple of brothers that owned the hamburger stand and said, you know, this thing could go better if we just put a little effort into it. So he quit his job and came out to help the brothers at the hamburger stand. He said, this thing can be big. And so he started working with them. And I think he got them to open another hamburger place. And he was working with them. And he wanted to expand it. He said, man, we could make some money and really go forward if we would just go forward. And these brothers said, we don't want to do that. We're fine with where we're at. We don't want to chance it. So he ended up buying these guys out. But he made one provision. He goes, when I buy you out, I want to be able to keep your name for the franchise. The brothers were the McDonald's brothers.
There you go.
They were afraid to launch out. Someone else had to take their business to another level. We're like that in our life. We're afraid to launch out. I want Jesus, but I only want that much of him. I don't want the whole thing. Then you're only going to get that much result. If you really want what God has, we need to expect great results.
Yeah.
Next, I got to hasten. We're a little behind here. Next, express your faults. What happens after they catch the fish? Simon Peter's first thought wasn't, hallelujah, this is great. After all the fish are in and everything's done, he goes to Jesus in verse 8 and says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Why? Well, first of all, he wasn't completely obedient. He only threw down one net. Jesus said, throw them all down. And he realized he wasn't completely following him. And he started to realize who this man really was. But he had to look at himself. Look, in any situation, in any problem, say, I want help. You know the first place you need to look?
Yeah.
Inwardly.
There you go.
Inwardly. If you're not willing to change yourself to help the situation, don't expect the situation to change.
Yeah.
You see, so often we have a situation, you know what we want to change? If it's in a relationship, we want the other person to change.
Come on.
By the way, you cannot dictate whether or not another person changes. All you can dictate is if I change.
Right.
That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah.
You. And everything that's going on, the only thing you can guarantee that will change is you. So look at yourself. Is there something I'm doing that's wrong? Is there something I'm doing that's not helping this situation? And be able to confess that to God. You won't change if you don't see it. We want everything in our life to change, all the results, all the details, all the blah, 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 except us. Well, that's just how I am. I know, that's just how I am. And that's just how everybody is. But just because we're a certain way doesn't mean we're supposed to stay that way.
Amen.
Amen.
And then the last thing is this. Experience a purpose. You see, Jesus had a better purpose than just fixing their problem. Once they got all the fish, and Peter's, I'm sinful. I should have listened to you in the first place. I should have done that. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sinful. All this and everything. Everything worked happily ever after. And then Jesus says, Simon, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. And you know what they did next? They brought the boats to the shore, locked them up, and said, never again. They forsook it. And they follow Jesus.
Yeah.
By the way, that was probably hard to do. You know why? That's probably the biggest haul of fish they had ever received in their life. Two boatloads, the boats were starting to sink. Their business was moving now. But that was probably a pretty good haul. That was probably going to last them for a while. They're like, we don't even care. We're following Jesus. You know, we have this idea sometimes. Well, you know, Jesus only wants those who things aren't, going very well for. You know, sometimes his parents are like, well, you know, that son, he can become a pastor, but this one over here, he's brilliant. I want him to be a doctor.
Come on now.
By the way, the reality check. Your sons and daughters aren't all going to become doctors and lawyers. mine's going to be a doctor or a lawyer. Percentage is very, very small. Okay, reality check there. If they can't pass their second grade math, they're probably not going to be a doctor. There's nothing wrong with that. What we ought to do is say, my best child is the one. God, you can have all of them. But we have this little mindset here. Oh, that's just for those that don't do it. You know, there's nothing else they can do. They might as well, work for God. By the way, working for God should be at the top.
Yeah.
You know, a guy, I went to Bible college. There's a guy, he pastored a good-sized church in Oregon, very well known. He decided he wanted to be governor of the state of Oregon. Now, he didn't make it, but he did get into politics. But can I just tell you something? If he would have been elected governor of Oregon, it would have been a step down.
Right.
See, we don't believe that.
Yeah. No.
That's what God wants him to do. That's a step up. And he said, Peter, we went all this. You got the fish. It's all good. You're forgiven. It's all wonderful. I got a better purpose for you.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what God's purpose is for us. But I do know this. God works in our life so that we'll fulfill his purpose on this earth. It's not just to get over our problem, although God cares about our problems and wants us to get over our problems. He does. But he also has something better for us over here. We don't always want to be working let's get through this mode. No, God has a tech mode. Hey, I have a purpose for your life. It's a lot better than just living in your problems. Let's get over those problems so you can go forward and live the kind of dynamic Christian life I want you to live, and let's reach some more people. You see, if you get over your problems, there are people out there that are going through the same problems you're going through, and God just might use you to help them get through their problems.
Amen.
We got to learn to do that. Expect great results. Express your faults and experience God's purpose in your life. God has something better for you. But if you keep doing things the way you've been doing them, things are going to stay they are, the way they are. Why not let Jesus come in and let's just transform this whole thing? Let's all bow our head and close our eyes this morning.